Good morning, boys and girls. How's everybody out there in the wide world of everything? Yes, we're back. There wasn't much going on last week, and it was, a little windy, rainy, storming.
A lot of wind. And it seemed to be variable. You know, it'd start off in the morning out of the east, and then in the afternoon would be more kind of a northwest. You know, it was just made it pretty funky.
So, anyway, for one reason or another, we weren't able to get in here last week, but we said, okay, this week we're going for it. Come good, bad, or indifferent. And I actually got out a little bit yesterday, fishing Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me. We're doing area fishing report. Surprised by how many needlefish are in the harbor.
Right? Yeah. That's a little strange.
Yeah, it was just... I mean, I popped it out of several of them attacking my bait whenever we put it on a bobber. Just boom, 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 attacking the bait. It was, I think we caught four of them or something yesterday.
Wow.
But half a dozen times I'd see the bobber start going dun, 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 and I give it a couple of good jerks, get it away from them. And, but I was surprised. A lot of needlefish. And it was all on the east side. Literally from Mangrove Point all the way down to Pirate Harbor, we ran into needlefish.
That's pretty strange.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised because the water was brown, nice and clear, but brown. In 2 feet of water, you could see the bottom, but, you know, it was through a brown lens.
Right.
But... you know, it was, all in all, the fishing wasn't bad. I think I figured out we caught a fish every 15 minutes while we were out.
That's not bad.
A couple of sharks, some snook, and we'll go over that, you know. But caught them all on either shrimp, white bait, or DOA cal shad. Those were the lures, the lure that actually caught fish. It was the only lure that actually caught fish yesterday. And that was pretty good on the trout. We were using that clear salt and pepper clear with the chartreuse tail, you know, Blake's jig.
The old Blake jig.
Yeah, Blake was, and Blake slammed out. He caught a redfish, the only redfish we caught all day. He caught a redfish, did catch one of the snook that we caught a few, and he caught his trout. So
nice.
He slammed out. His kid never caught the redfish, so both his kids, I think, caught a snook and some trout, so...
there you go.
You know, little bonnet sharks. I will tell you, boys and girls, yes, braided is nice, but if you're going to go back on the flats, put a rod with 6-pound mono on it and use some 25 fluorocarbon leader.
Have a real good time, huh?
It caught more fish than anything because it was a rod I was kind of throwing out, sitting in the rod holder. That rod went off more than any of them. Every other rod had braid on it, but I like having one with light mono on it.
Yeah.
And that fish caught, or that rod with that mono on it caught more fish. And it could have been a coincidence, but we used it whenever we were around open water. And I was throwing that out more or less open water rod. But the sharks, both sharks were caught on it. You know, several of the trout, other stuff. But it was funny how often that rod went off compared to the rods with the braided line on it.
Absolutely.
Now, I still am not a fan of mono against the mangroves. It's too dangerous. Mono is too hard to break.
Right.
It sends missiles back after you. Use the easy-to-break braided line, the 15 to 20-pound test braided, and they all break easy. Don't tell me braided is that strong. It's garbage. But for out in the open water where monofilament is clear, that 6-pound mono rocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, mono will always, for me, I mean, it outfishes the braid easily 2-to-1, if not more than that.
Yeah, I don't know, but it was, I don't know if it was 2-to-1, but it was significant.
Sitting on my dock back behind the house, I've experimented with it. You and I had talked about that years ago, and it's just surprising. I mean, mangrove snapper and sheep's head, the mono was outfishing the braid.
Mm-hmm. So... you know, when you're thinking about coming in, you got to have braided, got to have braided. Well, no, you don't. All right. Let's see. PC Solutions of Arcadia is sponsoring the stuff on the Peace River. I had a really good ride up on the Peace River. I didn't see any fish.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, too.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I haven't heard of anything. We fished up around I-75 for a while yesterday. and that takes care of two spots.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything at either of those two places, to be honest.
Yeah, and I-75 is sponsored by Ponger K's Grady Funeral Home and Cremation Services. You know, every once in a while, we all need to, whether we want to think about it or not, something we all going to deal with. So, nice people to deal with when bad things happen. Give them a call. You know, at least you got somebody nice to deal with. All right, I got nothing to report there. They're sponsoring that around I-75, and I was just there, and I didn't do anything. We trolled a little bit. We casted do shrimp out, do white bait out, and jigs out, and I didn't get anything to bust. So
right.
Anyway, that's what the story was there. It's going to take us down to the 41 Bridge. Now, at the 41 Bridge, I will say I did see some fish. There was a couple people caught some fish. I haven't heard a lot. I didn't get to see what they were catching, but I saw a couple people land fish. I don't know if it was catfish or if it was whatever. I saw the rod bent. I was too far away to see anything, but, you know, the rod bent, and they were bringing up a fish.
Right.
So, mystery fish there. What do you got anything to define it?
There's been a couple juvenile tarpon being seen rolling. I haven't heard of anyone hooking any. And then they've been hooking a couple juvenile snook right there between, on the north end of the bridge, between the power lines and the bridge itself. And that's pretty much about the only couple things I've heard about over there. The park, from what I heard from two different people, the power pole park is closed down a little bit because it got so damaged from the wave action from the storm. It knocked up all the pavers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like a hand grenade went off down there, the one picture that I did see. So they're cleaning that up and redoing the pavers.
I was there and never even noticed it. I mean, I was literally taking pictures of it, you know, for the website.
Right.
And never even noticed that was going on.
Yeah, they might have fixed it up by now, but that's what I heard at the beginning of last week.
Yeah, what about Lashley Park?
A couple of small snook, a couple of black drum. Austin was saying they hooked a couple small snook there last night, and then they got railed by the Loch Ness Monster. Fish took them all the way to the 41 Bridge before breaking off finally. He had no idea what it was, so that was kind of fun to hear from him. And that's kind of it there.
Okay, and Bayshore Pier, and Bayshore Pier is sponsored by our good friends over at Centennial Bank. Gwen, say hi to Katie and the rest of the gang over there. Tell them we said hey. We're over there all the time.
Right.
So, if you're up north thinking about moving to Florida and you want a good bank that knows the community and understands who everybody is and all that kind of stuff, that's Centennial. Good bank. Okay, Bayshore Pier. Guy was in, caught cobia there yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, I was talking to him this morning.
Any size to it?
He didn't say, because he caught a cobia. And then he said he missed, I forget what else he missed over there, but I think he was... but he caught it on ladyfish.
There you go. Still a couple small juvenile black bull sharks. I've heard of a couple tarpon rolling around out there. Nobody's hooked any, but they're seeing them. And then one of the guys who was actually kayaking between the two piers got two small snook. He said that caught him off guard because he used to catching the occasional small trout there. He got two snook that he said were 20 inches.
Well, the water was so low yesterday, and it's really funny because if you're on the river or right around 41 and stuff, the water did finally drop way down, but you're dealing with river flow there. So as you go from 41 Bridge and going out in the harbor, as soon as you go around Punta Gorda, the water's a lot lower.
Yeah.
Because the water coming down the Peace River, there's still so much of it, it's artificially higher.
Gotcha.
And closer you get up river, but by yesterday afternoon it had dropped down very low. We went to look at a hole that used to be there around the 41 Bridge where Blake and I used to fish, and we caught a lot of snook there, and it doesn't exist anymore. and the hole was basically, it stretched, you know how they got the concrete pilings that hold up that bridge?
Mm-hmm.
It spanned two sections. There was one in the middle and went to both sides of the other one. And we took the depth finder through there, depth finder, side finders, and all that. And there's no evidence of the hole. Between the hurricane and some of the other stuff, it's all filled in.
No kidding.
Yeah, it used to be 6-8 foot deep, you know, when everything else around it was about 2 to maybe 3. And now there's a little bit more, 3 foot, 3.5 foot, where you can see where the hole used to be. It's about a foot deeper than, but more of the area there is a little bit deeper, but it's just kind of all blanked in.
Huh.
I was kind of sad because that was a great spot for snook right there, and it was right at the north end of the 41 bridge on the southbound side.
Gotcha.
But the hole's gone. We actually, I took the boat through each, in between each of the pilings, went very close to shore, and kind of backed the boat in to have the depth finder check it out, and pulled forward and backed up, pulled forward through all of them, and it was just, so you're going to die on me, huh?
I guess.
Okay. You haven't coughed this much all day. What, do you get on the radio and it's just something about it?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
that's what the cough drops, but trying to help. Not doing a very good job, though.
Ray Smith of the Port Charlotte Canals is what he's sponsoring here. What is Ray Smith Excavating sponsoring in the Port Charlotte Canals?
A lot of small snook. Been some jacks. Handful of tarpon. Especially over there by Spring Lake. Both of them, for that matter. And then right there in the basically the beach complex basin where all those canals intersect, guys have been catching a handful of redfish and some mangrove snapper right along the bushes, fishing each and every one of those little entrances to those canals. The redfish haven't been real big, but they have been getting a few legal sized ones.
Okay. Well, you know, moving on from Port Charlotte, look up, let's head up to the Myakka River, go up to Elgamine Pier, sponsored by Action Appliance. Great place, ought to be your first stop. As I've said before, it was my first stop the other day because I needed some very specific appliances. I have a thing I want to do, and I needed stuff certain size, certain, you know, I want a stove that worked on gas or propane and whatever, and they were able to explain everything to me, and they had two of the items I was looking for. They did have point me to another place to get the third item, but as I said before, should be your first stop, because even if they don't have what you want, they can point you to where you'll find it. So, Action Appliance. What's going on in Myakka River up at the Elgamine Pier?
The night fishing off of there has been okay for the snook. They've been getting a few legal sized ones, but the majority of them been a little bit on the smaller side. I'm hearing also of a bunch of juvenile tarpon first thing in the morning right up against the bridge, and then an oddball trout and an oddball mangrove snapper, but not really gangbusters on those.
Talked to a gentleman who caught, not at the pier, but there between the bridge and the pier, several gulf flounder.
Really?
Yeah. He was specifically flounder fishing. So,
there's a couple of guys that got that dialed in over there.
Yeah, if you're dragging the bottom down there, it's actually a pretty good flounder spot because there's so much bottom cover. And flounder love to be around that kind of structure and hang out on muddy bottom, and it's perfect for what they got.
Yeah, there's a couple guys there that do that, and then there's one guy that there that's got like the big mangrove snapper dialed in really well for in the springtime, like in March and April. He doesn't catch a lot of them, but he goes out there a couple times a week at night, and he's going to get anywhere from a couple 2 to 3 pounders every time.
That takes skill.
It's pretty impressive.
Takes a lot of practice and takes a lot of time, effort.
Yes, it does.
The rest of the Myakka River area is sponsored by Murdoch Tire and Automotive Center. My buddy Jim, Carl having a problem with his truck. And as always, Carl's got problems with everything. And I said, take it up to Jim at Murdoch Tire. He's like, and he went to another shop, and they plugged the computer on. They said, oh, you got 15 sensors, you know, tripped, and these sensors are going to be bad, and this sensor and that sensor. And I said, take it to Jim. And finally, Carl, he left that place, and he was driving, and I said, just have, and it stalled. I said, have it towed to Jim. He's like, but, I said, trust me. He took it up there, and there was not a sensor problem in the truck at all. Not even a little bit of a sensor problem, the way he was told by the other shop. Yes, 15 codes had gone off, saying the sensors were bad. Jim says, this is not, something's wrong here. Opens the hood up, goes to look, and he says, it might just be something with the spark plug wire. It was. There was teeth marks in them. The squirrels had not only eaten a couple of spark plug wires, but like 8 or 9 other wires. The squirrels had got in there and started chewing the wires apart, which set off the sensor codes. This is why you don't want to go to some place that relies on a computer. There has to be a guy behind the computer or around that computer that actually understands the world is not what computers think it is.
Right.
They're not ready to take over the world yet. One day, and I love my machine overlords. Yes, I do.
You should.
Yes, I'm very happy with my machine overlords. Get used to saying that. But they're not ready yet. So anyway, he's looking, and not only did he find the wires chewed through by the squirrels, and he says, I'm pretty sure this is squirrels, because he was, between the fender wells in a little spot, he found 4 squirrels in a nest there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was on the money with it. But that's Jim up Murdoch Tire. I just thought it was kind of funny. Only Carl's going to have squirrels. Not only the chewing wire up, they're actually living by the fender well.
And that's kind of unusual. I mean, squirrels do like wiring kind of like rats do, but to have them living in the truck, that's kind of odd. How long had it been since he'd been driving that truck?
Well, he parked it over at Brandon's house, and they've got all these squirrels because she likes to feeding the squirrels.
Ah.
And he had it sitting there for about 8 days.
Way more sense now.
In those 8, because he went over to fish that tournament in Titusville. And so instead of taking his truck, I guess they used Brandon's truck or something, but his truck was parked there for like 8 days. And the squirrels just moved in and found all this wonderful wire to chew on. Anyway, what's going on in the Mahaka River area? Poor Carl can't catch a break. So anyway, this could be my cutoff, Tippy Canoe, whatever. I didn't get up there yesterday, so I'm not sure.
The Tippy Canoe, just at the mouth, has had some better than average snook, a handful of redfish, and they seem to bleed down into the north end of the Mahaka cutoff there. And then I've also heard about a couple of pompano being there on that big flat there out on the riverside of Hog Island. Other than that, I haven't heard much in the main river part of it. No juvenile tarpon or adult tarpon towards the mouth like there should be.
My redfish reports out of the Mahaka cutoff were a lot better, a lot more encouraging than that. Good yeah. numbers of fish, not really any schools, but grouping up into little, 4 and 5 bunches. And catching good numbers of fish, not just up underneath the trees, but in some cases out there in the open along the deeper edges of the cuts.
Are they catching them on shrimp, or what are they catching them on?
This guy's going to be a natural bait fisherman. I'm going to guess he was probably using cut bait.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's going to buy shrimp, and I don't think he was able to net anything. So I would assume that probably cut bait is what he was using. And also had some good reports of tilapia farther up the Mahaka River.
Way up like Snook Haven area and farther?
No, not quite that far up.
So just the 41 bridge area, more or less?
Yeah, yeah. If you like that kind of thing. A lot of people don't.
T-I-L-I-P-H-I-A?
T-I-L-A.
Wait a minute.
T-I-L-I-P-I-A. No, T-I-L-A-P-I-A. Yeah. That's it. T-I-L-A-P-I-A.
T-I-L-A-P-I-A?
Yeah. Tilapia.
Tilapia. All right, got it. It was confusing me. Okay, that, to make sure the sentence made sense. South Gulf Cove, what do we got?
Just the one gentleman. He's been trolling through there on his way out and getting some snook of assorted sizes. He got into a couple jacks also last week. not big ones. He said they're 1 to 2 pounds, but still fun nonetheless. He said his tarpon disappeared. He hasn't seen any roll around in there lately.
I saw a couple roll at the boat ramp. I didn't fish for them. I stopped and looked.
Yeah.
Just looking to see what I could see, and I did see a couple of tarpon rolling down there.
At the boat ramp right there off 776?
Yeah.
What is the name of that park anyway?
Boat ramp?
It's on my website. It's under Gulf Cove.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on the website. I don't have the actual, I have the web building program up, so I can't just change to that page. So. But it's the Butterford ramp.
That's it, Butterford.
Yep, I'm looking at it.
A very memorable name.
The Locks, South Gulf Cove Park, and Butterford ramp. It says it right there, because those are the hyperlinks, okay, to the pages I made about those things. All right, moving into the West Wall and the creeks of the West Wall. We've got Trout Creek, the West Wall as a whole, Blowdown Creek, Muddy Creek, Oyster Creek. These are all places that we do have highlighted on little pages of their own, so you can see where they are. And what does that mean for fishing there? Because Luigi's is sponsoring it. And we just, how was the Luigi's special sub? You had that the other night.
Oh, their steak special is fantastic.
It's
yes.
The Luigi's special.
You have to order it that way. Sub. You have to get the Luigi's special steak sub.
Yeah.
If you just get a steak sub, then it comes on regular, boring, ordinary bread. But when you get the special, it comes on this homemade roll, and it's fantastic. It's
yeah,
got
they make
extra
it right there, and they actually cook it to make the bread right there.
Yeah, and it's got garlic flavoring, and the bread is toasted and buttery, and it's just fantastic. And, of course, you can order your steak sandwich any way that you want, with or without cheese, peppers, onions, mushrooms, all that good stuff.
On that far line machine, it may be charging.
And it's really a fantastic sub.
Yeah, I went to a regular hamburger last night, and I forget what I had the night before that. I don't remember.
You had a calzone.
The calzone. The perfect calzone. I did not order another calzone because the one I had Tuesday was probably the most perfect calzone in history. It was so good, crispy, everything else. And so I went to a burger the next night because I don't want to be disappointed. I got to let the memory of that perfect calzone go away for a while.
Right.
You know, we're there for two nights. We did Tuesday night.
You may never order a calzone
Wednesday
again.
Night. No, I will, but I just got to let the memory of the perfect calzone fade a little bit. Because Josh said he was getting his with sausage and ham. You added sausage to yours.
Yep.
And I got an identical one. And it was, oh gosh. And like I say, if the memory would have faded, I would have been able, next month when we go back for the meetings, I would have been able to have another one. But you brought it back into mind, and now I'm salivating and all that kind of stuff. I want a calzone, but I'm not. Okay. Let's see. We're talking about the West Wall, Robert. What's going on?
A lot of snook and redfish scattered up and down the whole thing. Under the bushes primarily is where most of the snook are at, but the redfish are both over on the flat itself and under the bushes. We've had some pretty high tides, so when those tides get up, those fish are moving way up underneath the bushes, but once that tide dumps, they're moving both onto the flat and the shoreline, especially in the mouths of the creeks of any one of those that you mentioned. Guys are doing good on shrimp, cut ladyfish, and the topwater bite first thing in the morning, I guess, has been pretty good over there too. I have not heard of the pompano in a while, or the trout, to be honest.
I heard about trout. They said that the numbers were decent, but the size just wasn't there.
Okay.
He said they didn't even keep any. They thought they might keep a few, you know, if they got some in that 16, 17-inch range. He said they only got a couple that were barely 15, so they just put them all back. No point.
I got one 16 yesterday, but everything else was 13, 14, 14 and a half.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that'll partly depend on the bait that you're fishing, too. I mean, they were fishing shrimp under a cork, which is traditionally a way to get your smaller fish. If you think there are some bigger ones over there, try to fish something that resembles a fish a little bit more, and you might be able to sort out some of the larger ones.
Yep. Decent size, silver dollar size, or better pinfish is usually pretty good for those guys.
That makes a really good fish imitation.
Mm-hmm.
A live pinfish.
Yeah, we had a... have you noticed, Josh... What happened on your radio show this... All right, I'll ask you that when we get down to it. Never mind. All right, we're at Cape Hayes right now, Muddy Bay. This is sponsored by Finor, the Lethal Reels. good, solid, dependable, good casting, good reliability. Just, this is a good reel, guys. And it's at that medium $100 price point. What's critical about watching for reels with that $100 price tag on them, you're getting better materials. $35 reel with 10 ball bearings and this and that is junk, because if you're fishing in freshwater, it's going to be just fine. But once you put in the saltwater, it's going to fall apart very quickly. I actually encourage you to buy $35, $40 reels with lots and lots of ball bearings in them, because they're going to go to heck. You got to buy another reel much faster, so I'm going to make more money. So there you go. Buy up those cheap reels with lots of ball bearings on them, or you, because they fall apart so quick. I make more money.
Well, yeah. How can you make a reel with 10 ball bearings for $35 and sell it for $35 retail? You can't do that.
So you got to look for that $100 price tag to get those good materials. That's where it kind of starts at. Better materials. And even though they have the same number of ball bearings or this or that or next thing, it's all about materials. Anyway, K-Pays, Fenor, what's going on K-Pays?
Right up against the shoreline between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay, that trough where everybody runs, there's been some redfish and a lot of snook. A lot of snook staging up there, you know, that are starting to move into the harbor now from the beaches and the passes. And then Cape Hayes on the Boca Grande side in that deeper trough. Some guys have been getting a couple flounder, an oddball Spanish mackerel, and a couple of bonnet head sharks. Fishing just along that deep drop off, and doesn't seem to matter if the tide was going in or going out. The guys fished them both ways.
Now, when my trout fishermen got to that point, they stopped catching trout and they started catching baby gags.
Really?
Yep. Gaglets. Grass grouper.
Grass grouper.
Yep.
I like that.
Grass grouper.
It's kind of cute.
All right.
Along with some of the redfish that you were talking about.
Gotcha.
We'll save that as a term, grass grouper. Kind of like rat red, you know?
Yep. It sounds better than gaglet, too.
Yeah, I actually was kind of going for the gaglet. I actually really kind of like that, but I, you know, I would have too much fun going gaglet grouper. Gaglets. There's gaglets there. The gaglets would have just been fun, but
gaggles of gaglets.
Yeah, there's gaggles of gag grouper, of gaglet gag grouper. All right. Anyway, taking us into Bull Turtle Bay. I don't, was anybody sponsored? Oh, yeah, Fenor. Okay, so Penn. Boy, I really like the, why can't I think of it? The one before.
Conflict?
No, before that.
Fierce?
I like the Fierce. The Fierce is the workhorse of the Penn
line.
You
like the Battle?
I like the
Fierce. Passion?
Well, I like the Fierce because it's strong, tough, minimal ball bearings, good durable reel, hard body. Get a couple little, they cheapen up a couple little things on it, the rotor for one, but it's a good workhorse. But you get up into the Battle, you've got the extra ball bearing underneath the spool for a very smooth drag. They've toughened the rotor up. It won't squeeze like some of the other ones. Good strong handle, good strong all the way around. Passion, same way. I kind of like the handle on the Passion. I thought that was pretty cool. I like the shape of it. It feels good for me instead of the paddle.
The shape or the feel of it, because it feels different too with that pink Naugahyde or whatever it is on it.
And I like that. I'm not sure how long it's going to hold up, but I hope it holds up really well. Well, you know, first year reels, you never know. But yeah. That would help. Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, it's shorting out my microphones.
I hope when they do those for next year, they number one, take the roller bearing and make it pink also. And in the combos, they need to make the rod pink, because I saw it with one of the pink rods that you have here in the shop, and it looks great. A lot better than the combo looks. Yeah, the pink Okuma.
Actually, I like it even better with the pink Wright McGill. I thought with the pink Wright McGill, that was extraordinary. I love that setup. I like it better with the Okuma rod, but I was surprised. That's actually pretty good. Now, I will say one thing about the new Conflict. I love the combo. The new combo they sell together with the rod and reel.
Right.
I love that combo. I like the feel of it. I like the rod. I like everything about that combo. The Conflict 2 reel, I can take it or leave it. It doesn't I like the combo. I think that was a great setup. The reel, I think, is okay. I'm not thrilled with it. The Clash. Love the Clash. Man.
Yeah, that's been proven to be pretty darn good.
That's my
good.
Favorite reel on the pen line is the Clash. But the new Conflict, I don't know. We'll see. You know.
Well, it's so similar to the Clash.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't feel as good as the Clash. I mean, it's supposed to be similar, but it's supposed to be lighter in weight. I don't believe any of it. I'm sorry, Penn. Love you guys. Best company I've ever dealt with. There has never been a real company in the history of fishing tackle that cares so much about independent retailers and our customers and helping us take care of our customers. Penn is the best company I've ever dealt with. This version, this new version of Penn. Not the old version of Penn. I wouldn't even sell their junk. But this new Penn stuff, I love. Love the company. I mean, I'm just hardcore Penn guy. Hardcore. I'm not thrilled with the reel. I hate to broadcast it that way, but I think there's got to be truth in this advertisement.
I haven't played with it enough to be...
Yeah. Maybe if I fish with it, I'll like it. I didn't like the Battalion rods at all.
I'm still not a big fan of them.
And I fished with it. That 6 to 12 Battalion, I can work lures with that thing all day. I love that rod.
I love the blank. The reel seats.
And I like it.
It backs off on me all the time.
Zero problem with mine. Love it. Absolutely love that rod.
It backs off?
A 2000 pen.
It's loosening up.
Had that once.
If I put the 2000 Battle on there, which is the exact same size as the 3000 Shimano, I've measured them out. The 2000 Battle is the same size as the 3000 Shimano. And people say, well, you can't put I'm on a 3,000 because that's how I fish that in the Shimano. Well, the 2,000 pen's the same size. Look at a 3,500 Daiwa. It's bigger than a 4,000 pen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go by the numbers on the side of the reel. Literally, hold them up, measure them, and look at them, and look at the line capacity. Because that whole number stuff is ridiculous.
There's no industry standard for it. It's like with circle hooks. The sizes are whatever they decide they are.
Yeah, I mean, a 2,000 pen has the same drag pressure and everything as a 3,000 Shimano. And if you don't believe me, come in, I'll show you the washers. You tell me that somebody ain't lying there. Anyway, Bull Bay Turtle Bay, sponsored by this weird ad, which is,
an infomercial.
I think it's more of an infomercial than it is an ad, because ads are supposed to be bright and cheery and everything's great and they sell the best stuff. I'm not convinced this one is, but we'll see. So that's as good as I can tell you. Love the Clash. Love the Clash. Big fan of the Clash.
Do you want to do an ad?
No.
We could.
Like how?
Come in and get your amazing new pen, Conflict 2 Reels, today!
Okay. See, there you go. All right. Now, I feel like we've earned our money here. All right. What's going on, Bull Bay and Turtle Bay? Well, now I do feel better.
Perfect.
It's been kind of the same story there that we have everywhere else. You've got redfish and you've got snook. Right. And they've both been in fairly good abundance. They're going to be massed up underneath the edges of the bushes. You're going to find some of those reds out on the flats as well. And a few trout down there too. Except over there, you're probably going to see more bonnethead sharks. And you might see a couple of tarpon rolling.
Yeah, I've heard of some of the tarpon. They've been more in Bull Bay, though, than they have Turtle Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unusual, because you hear a bunch of them in that back section of turtle, but nope.
But our good buddy Mike Myers jumped one in there yesterday while he was trout fishing. And that's kind of the way it's going to go for a little while. You're not going to be able to hook one if you want to, but they'll come up and surprise you when you're not expecting them.
Oh. Yeah. I'm hearing a better fish at the entrance also. You know, the Gallagher's Cut, Bull Bay entrance, the two shacks right there inside Bull Bay. Good mixture of those fish.
Okay.
And there was a good mixed school of Jack's ladyfish, bluefish, right around Gallagher's.
That's always fun.
Yeah, for some reason it seemed to be holding a lot of bait fish.
It usually does at times. They seem to like get funneled in there on those really super strong flood tides.
Yep.
That's an exciting place to fish. I like that. That's one of my more favorite spots down in that area. Never know what you're going to bump into. And I've seen
other fishermen now.
Yeah. Well, usually they're driving by you, though.
Right.
They're zipping through on plane and come buzzing around the corner, and you just freak them out.
the Cape Hayes Reef, because nobody else wanting to sponsor it, we're doing Fish and Frank's Fishing Club, where you can come in. We talk about different things for as far as fishing goes, but we show you a lot of specific places, big overhead projectors and computer stuff and microphones that almost worked. And it's a very interactive program for as far as we pick a topic and go in depth about that topic for the week, and we try and do less generalized stuff, giving you the most in-depth about each one of the topic. This last month, what we did this month, or the last one we did, was about bottom structure, natural bottom structure out in the Gulf of Mexico, and then rigs to fish it with. And it's interesting, because especially when you get to see a picture of what we're talking about up on the big screen, and the guys have the laser pointers, and it's cool. It's more interesting than just listening to us talk about it. You get to see it and hear it.
Well, not only that, but you had to view hours and hours and hours of diving videos just to help them out get a better perspective on it.
I don't ever need to see another diving video, I can tell you that. But I will, because we've got ones to do about racks, and we've got other ones to do about all this stuff, and I will find the information wherever I can. So anyway, Cape Hayes Reef, is anything going on out there?
I've heard of a couple Spanish mackerel around it on the incoming tide, and a couple of mangrove snapper off of it. They were very small. And it just seemed to be that incoming tide was what kicked it off a little bit. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side. You hear anything worthwhile off of it?
I hear nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. I hear nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah. It'll get better.
Of course it will.
It always does. That place can be pretty awesome.
Well, the nice thing about it producing very little or nothing is that it almost has to get better, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. Very true.
It could just be a horrible spot.
One day it'll get better.
But one day, tomorrow, there's always fishing tomorrow. Okay, now we're at Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats, and this is sponsored by Radio Waterline. So I'm going to get to the question. What happened in the show this morning? Both you guys are weird. The only thing you have in common is you did the radio show there in Kicks Country this morning. So what happened?
What do you mean, what happened? We talked about stuff on the radio show, and then we left.
You got Mike all twisted up. You had Mike go set up.
Okay, maybe I bent Mike
part
out of shape
it,
just a tiny little
bit. Part of it was
him
being a little dramatic, but for the most part, he was a little twisted up, whether he wants to admit it or not.
So Mike was a drama queen this morning, and what was happening with that?
Mike has a very strongly held opinion regarding Goliath Grouper and opening a season on them, and he is very much opposed to opening a season.
So he didn't like my answer at all.
Well, he didn't hear your answer unless he listened to it as he was driving away, because he had already left by then. He had a charter that he had to do today. So he was
early.
Only in for the first hour.
Oh.
But
I was going to say, you really twisted Mike up. You left. I got a charter. I got to go. I got a charter, guys. I'm out of here,
He has an emotional attachment to those fish for some reason. And he's not viewing them so much as fish the way that most of us would. He's viewing them more as puppies.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because what kind of guy drops a 20-aught circle hook with a stingray down to feed to his puppy and then jerks it up by the face to have his clients take pictures with it? That's a weird thing to do with your puppy, man. So
I said, to me, this whole Goliath Grouper debate, I don't care if they open the season, close the season, do whatever. But if you're going to open it up and let people take it, let's figure out how big the biggest one gets and go back 5 inches, and that's your... They got to be that big or bigger. None of this stupid slot stuff. I don't like it. I have no idea. But if you go out and let's put it in puppy perspective. If you were caught mutilating, killing a puppy, there's a special place in Hades for that kind of person. You know what I mean? Everybody would be against it. But if you put down an old dog, okay. Fish are the only thing on the planet we don't think of that way. The
right.
Bigger they are, the more precious they are. No, they're old. That's the ones we should be taking.
And yet it's so weird that in a natural system, the juveniles are the ones that almost always get eaten. If an animal has a million eggs, then you get maybe 10,000 of those will survive to baby size. And of those 10,000, maybe 3 will survive to adulthood. It's babies that get taken out of the system.
Yeah. Well, they're better eating. They fight back less.
Exactly. But once you get to be an adult...
They're small enough to fit in your mouth.
Once you get to be an adult, especially with something like a Goliath grouper that doesn't really have any predators as an adult...
I can think of several families that should consider this. But anyway... Yeah.
Wouldn't be hard to make a list.
So, anyway... But as we're talking about Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats, the only reason we're bringing up the Goliath grouper again is because there's that meeting you can attend, and it's coming up very soon.
It's October 17th, Tuesday, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Cultural Center here in Charlotte County, and they're going to be talking about Goliath grouper. They're calling it a workshop, and what they're doing is they're trying to figure out whether or not to open a season on Goliath grouper. And I know that there are cynics who say the decision's already made. I think in this case...
It's always already made.
I think in this case, though, with the number of workshops they're holding, that they don't really know what to do because they're getting upset people on both sides. They're getting the spear fishermen saying, no, we have to open a season. They're ruining everything out there. We're getting the dive charters saying, no, you have to leave them closed because that's our money right there. We got to be able to see those Goliath grouper. That's what people pay us to do. And then you've got recreational fishermen who are kind of split on it. So I think they're trying to get a consensus. I really do. This one time, I really do.
I would love to agree with you, but I don't know any time the state of Florida, if they're to the point, and I've heard this from many of the state officials, if they're to the point where they're having workshops on it, then they think it's a good idea and they're going to do it. The only reason they have the workshop is just to let people spout off.
Right, and I agree with you generally, but if you look at the PDF of the presentation that they're doing at the workshops, they make passionate defenses both for keeping the status quo, which is having no open season, and for opening a season. They give good reasons why we should do one or the other. And I just don't think the decision's made yet.
I'd like to believe you. All right. Anyway, Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats. This was sponsored by Waterland Radio. Josh Olive and Robert, our host of it, and Mike Myers. And it goes on from 7 to 9 every Saturday morning on 92.9 Kix Country. Or if you click that radio waterline icon on the fishing report, it takes you right to all their old shows, and you can listen to them right there. It's the easiest way to find them and tell you if you're looking for them. That's tough. But if you just click that, it'll take you right to them. Okay. And what's going on, Gasparilla Sound?
A lot of varieties of things. Once again, a lot of redfish, snook, and trout scattered throughout that whole system there. On the flats, up along the bushes, that little oyster bar going towards Wooden Creek. There's even been a handful of bonnethead sharks, a couple of small juvenile bull sharks. I've heard of a couple tarpon rolling through there, mostly juveniles, more closer to the bushes, the shoreline right there between Widden and Catfish. So, kind of a good little smorgasbord of stuff. I mean, I'd be going there personally if I wanted to probably bend the rod on a variety of fish.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. And the only thing that I've heard different from that is a few more tarpon than what you just described. But again, these are fish they're seeing, not fish they're catching.
Right.
All right. The Placida Pier. You know, I've got like several sponsors I can make ads for. All right. I'll throw in something about Engman and put them in here. Engman Marine. We lease the inside of the building in Fort Myers from Engman Marine. They have a boat dealership down there, and they're doing some service. They got a few parts and stuff there, but their Port Charlotte store has a massive selection of parts and all that, a full-fledged Yamaha dealer, and they have them in Placida. They've got one up Sarasota. They think they got one on Pine Island.
There's a little one out there on Pine Island. It's a pretty good one up there in Sarasota. If there's one in Venice, I don't know about it.
Yeah, I don't know if they got one in Venice or not, but
their original one is in Murdoch.
Yeah, up here in Port Charlotte. That's a big store. They got a lot of different boats, a big selection of parts and all that. Engman Marine. I'll build the thing for the page here. But anyway, pretty nice folks. I mean, I've known Gary since the 80s.
That's a long time, man.
Yeah. So I bought the first Yamaha motor I ever bought. I bought from Gary up there in Engman Marine. So, all right. What's going on at Placida Pier?
Well, I had a report of somebody who was extremely excited because they caught three sheep's head out there on the Placida Pier. And they said, it must be winter. The sheep's head are here. It's a thing. And then they went back out and they couldn't catch a sheep's head. They told their buddies who went out there and couldn't catch any sheep's head. So somebody caught three sheep's head and no more have been seen since. So if you heard about the sheep's head out there, don't get too excited yet. Yes, there were a couple, but they're probably not massing up quite just yet. It's coming, but don't jump the gun.
Yeah, it could be as late as December, January, if the water doesn't cool down. They will spawn sometime this year, but if it gets colder, they'll bunch up. If it doesn't get really down to temperature, all of a sudden they will just have to.
Yeah.
And they'll get together and do it. But it could be as late as December or January before they do it if the water doesn't get cold. We've seen that a few times over the years.
Yep.
But we're hoping for some cool spells. The mornings have been wonderful lately.
This morning was really nice.
Oh, man, you wake up and I'm sitting on the porch watching the sun come up, and it's just perfect coffee weather with the coffee not real hot, you know, just nice and nice.
You know, it's 93 degrees outside right now.
It was just beautiful this morning. Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely gorgeous.
It changed a little bit. The good news is, in failing to catch sheep's head, they were catching some nice mangrove snapper out there.
Yeah, I've been hearing a mangrove snapper, a handful of snook at night. And then there's also been a couple of bull reds being caught there at night, too. The guys who are using some cut bait that are trying for the occasional shark or tarpon have been picking up, you know, 35-inch-plus redfish. Not with great numbers, but, hey, 35-inch redfish is still a really pretty impressive fish.
It's a nice one. You better expect to sort through some catfish, though, because there have been some good sail cats out there also.
Usually is. It's like the sail cat mecca.
Yep.
I can honestly tell you, we only caught two catfish yesterday out of quite a few different fish. They're both hardheads, so.
I'm shocked a catfish would dare to bite your hook.
Didn't bite mine.
Ah.
Nope. Each of Blake's boys caught one.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. No, I did not catch one yesterday. All right. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park. Who else? I got another ad I'm supposed to do. I forget I got three of them I'm supposed to do, and I can't remember who they are.
Should have made a list, Frank.
I got a list somewhere, but I don't know where it is.
Okay. Should have made a list and put it next to the computer, right. Frank.
There's somebody that has an ad here. Yeah.
That's a good ad.
Really nice people. I know this.
Wow.
Yeah. And buy whatever they got. Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park. What's going on up there in Lemon Bay?
Well, some more of those redfish around the Stump Pass area. There have been some good redfish schools moving through there. Some of them have been big ones. And I talked to a gentleman who caught several black drum in a row after catching a couple of nice redfish. So he thought maybe the black drum and the redfish were schooling up together. And Robert seems to agree that that might be a thing.
It's very possible. I mean, they will occasionally intermingle. I mean, they are in the same family. But, I mean, with, like I was telling him, the theory of, you know, red tide a couple years in a row whacking a good population of the big redfish down, maybe those black drum are kind of hanging out with them for a little bit more security.
Quite often, when I was first cast netting, you never saw thread fins and greenbacks or butterfish or anything in the same schools.
Nope.
You would catch one type of bait or the other. As soon as their numbers are down where they no longer feel safe, they move together. And redfish and black drum are so close genetically that they can actually spawn together.
Which means we might be seeing some red-black hybrids.
And that would be more than possible, and because chances are that it hasn't happened are slim to none. Because they tend to be in the Gulf about the same time, and, you know, just, it's bound to have happened.
Maybe we can call them maroon fish.
Yeah, well, it could be, because we have oversized redfish that stay in the harbor most of the year, but they don't have exactly the same type of tail. They don't migrate like other redfish do, and they could be offshoots of that, or that we've theorized that they were possibly left over from when they were doing the redfish hatchery here.
Mm.
And they never really learned, you know, they weren't part of this genetic pool where they were going and traveling, or they could be just crossbreeds between the black drum and the redfish, you know.
Weird.
You know, that might explain those bright white and orange black drum in the canals.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be interesting to...
Just popped into my little head right now.
Now we need to catch one and do a DNA study.
Never even thought of that till just this actual magic moment. This magic moment. Okay. I got it. I'm here.
There's also been some pompano out there. Not huge numbers of them, but some.
Oh, we're not
some.
Done with this?
No,
okay.
We weren't.
Some
we weren't.
Pompano.
There was only one fish so far.
Okay.
A few flounder coming in also. And mackerel staying just out of range if you're standing on the beach, but definitely close enough to catch if you're out there in a boat.
We're not to the beaches yet.
It would stump pass.
That's not
we,
the beach.
We said, well, the, but you could, you, if you can literally look over and see
stump
the mackerel
pass,
from where you're sitting there,
bay.
It's part of the thing, okay?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go to the Englewood Pier.
Don't
anger
make me fight
Pier.
You.
Anger. I'm anger at this pier. And it's sponsored by
it a
custom site. And yeah, well, Kim did that ad for Ingman, what, three times while we were sitting here trying to put that together?
Yeah.
And it, that's why I was growling when you came in. Every time I did something, it freaked out. And the, you know, I put the little box up so I can type letters on the picture. And it just kept distorting itself and
growling
going away.
Growling at the computer is only going to frighten it. Cause it to not do what you want it to do. You have to use positive reinforcement.
No. I find things work better if I threaten to really just beat it into a pulp.
Okay. Well, you're going to grow up with a computer that's always going to be scared of you. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
I want my computer to be terrified. I want to walk in the room and watch it cower in the corner. Yes. No. It is not my friend. I know this. Okay. What's going on in the pier?
The pier itself, there's a bunch of little snook there. There has been a couple juvenile tarpon. Those have both been at night. During the daytime, some ladyfish, a couple of whiting, a couple of mangrove snapper. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side. I guess flipper's been real bad in there. I was talking to one of the Charlotte County officers just a minute ago out there, and he fishes down there all the time, and he said that flipper has been pretty brutal. So there's three of them that are hanging out by the bumpers now under the bridge that come up and harass you.
Great.
And he said every now and then two of them venture over by the pier when you start casting off of there.
Well, the good thing is it's not a rogue male if it's a group of three.
Right.
Unless it's three outcast males, but that's kind of...
Kind of weird. There might be a juvenile male pod. They do that sometimes.
Could be. I don't know. Group
yeah,
of
I don't
three,
know.
That's... different to hang out in an area like that, you
yeah.
know. Be interesting to see if it was females and male mix, or if it's just males.
Yeah, I don't know.
Males often get ostracized from the pod and aren't allowed to come back.
Yeah.
So, for several reasons, which I don't even want to get into right now. Okay, going out to the Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing, trolling, whatever you're going to do, American Fishing Wire and High Seas Tackle makes everything better. And that's actually the truth. American Fishing Wire is the most dependable products you can buy. There's swivels, snaps, and stuff. If it says 160, it means it. It is as strong as they say. No matter how tiny it looks, it does what it's supposed to do. And
those little micro swivels are just impressive.
Yeah. And the little tiny micro swivels, the High Seas Leader, all this, I mean, good stuff. And you just... And you'll never find nicer people to deal with than that. And I say that a lot about these people, but they're truly friends. I mean, we, you know, our work, this is a working relationship, but we are friends with them. They're great. All right, American Fishing Wire and High Seas, and what are they sponsoring? Out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Did you notice he didn't say any of those things about the radio waterline people?
No, he didn't.
How nice they were to deal with, no. What great people they are. He missed that entirely.
They can hear you. And you're wondering why you don't get those kind of things? Did you hear that? What that was about me?
All right, so out in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, Robert's column in Waterline for this Thursday coming up is talking about trolling out there and the touches on the various different types of trolling that you might want to be doing, because we have trolling season coming up, because we have all that stuff going on out there. Kingfish reports have been picking up. There's a king now.
I was trying to, you know, help you
was that a kingfish right there?
It was a kingfish right okay. there. Right. You had one on.
He's
fish
gone
on.
Now.
Fish on.
You sure it was a king and not a gag? Which one did he hit? Did he hit the cedar plug or did he hit the trolled lure? Because, you know, he could have been a gag, because they're out there too.
You asked him to come to help with the report, didn't you?
Let me think about that one. Let's rewind the video footage. I'm going to say no.
Listen, you asked what was going on out there. That's what I've been hearing. I'm just not saying it as straight as I might.
All right.
And good numbers of Spanish mackerel now.
Yeah, near shore has been basically a little bit more productive because it's been so windy out there. It's been predominantly out of the east the last several days, so you get out there past 5 miles, it gets pretty sporty. But some Spanish mackerel, a couple small kings, one or two oversized, you know, bigger kings, some mangrove snapper. How am I doing? Geez.
I don't know. How are you doing?
Not very well. It was there and then it just was gone.
Forgot the name? Was it Lane Snapper?
No.
What did it look like?
They haven't been out far enough.
Describe it.
Cobia. A couple guys have been seeing some cobia on some of those nearshore reefs. Not hooking them, but seeing a few coming up. So, definitely some stuff happening, but I think the offshore will be really pretty nice if you can get out there once this wind lays down, which is what, Monday, I think they're calling for it to start to slack off a little bit.
Tuesday. Now. Yeah. And they're probably going to change that by the time we get to Monday and Tuesday. It'll be Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, of course.
And then by then it'll be Friday, Saturday. Yeah. So now if you have the larger boat and you can go out, talk to a guy who runs out of Fort Myers Beach, but he's been heading mostly north-ish. So I think he's running more off northern Lee County, southern Charlotte, maybe up even into Sarasota. But he's running way out. He's running 80 and 90 miles. And he said that they're seeing good numbers of wahoo out there. Caught a couple of sailfish, and they've been seeing some very large kingfish. And he's doing nothing but high-speed trolling.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. You said wahoo and what?
Wahoo, sailfish, and some very large kingfish.
That's pretty impressive.
Like 60, 70 pounds class kingfish. But you got to have the boat to do that.
Right.
Which we don't.
No.
Not me.
Nope. I mean, that's running out basically towards the Christmas Ridge.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's nice to know that that stuff's out there.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me feel a little better to know that there's stuff out there in the Gulf.
There's an impression.
All right. Yeah. We've got the passes, and this could be redfish, Captiva, Boca, Little Gasparilla Stump Pass, the Venice Jetties, any of these passes. Sponsored by Shield Rod and Reels. I did take the Shield with me again yesterday. It does cast very well. The drag work good. And I do notice that tip is a little bit when I'm fishing with it all day, because I fished a lot with that rod yesterday, a lot more than I had on the previous trip. And I do notice the tip every once in a while, but it's not, I didn't notice it all day. But a couple times I was fishing and I was holding the rod out and I went, oh, wow, the tip is a little heavy. But what was weird is I was throwing the jig, I was throwing a Storm Twitch, I was throwing this other stuff, topwaters, I did a lot of topwater. Didn't have any luck doing any of it. But the rod and reel performed well together. So all in all, you know, it's just weird. Why wouldn't you notice the tip? And it was a couple times during the day, I think I was sitting waiting with a popping cork or something, and then all of a sudden I noticed the tip a little bit. You know, because it's a little heavy with that solid carbon rod on it. But the whole time I was casting and working the stuff, not a bit. I wouldn't even think about it. And then all of a sudden later, I was sitting there, I think, what a popping cork went. Wow. Really strange.
So it's fine when it's moving, but when you're holding it still, you notice it getting tip heavy.
Yeah, I guess that was it. I guess that just the sitting there, and then all of a sudden, I felt the tip a little heavier. But all in all, I enjoyed it for throwing lures, and great action on it, but I'm using that 7 foot in the lighter action. I'm not using the heavier action one. I haven't tried a 7.5 yet. But have you fished them, Josh?
Have not.
Yeah. Robert, have you fished
them? No, I haven't.
I think if you were going to go out, and if I was going to throw lures all day with it, this would be a great combination to throw lures with all day. The 7 foot lighter action of the 2 series rods, I would highly recommend it for lures all day. I'm not sure, because like I say, when I was just sitting there, I felt that tip go down. I don't think it's a rod, but it's a $200 rod and reel. You know, you've got $100 for reel, $100 for the rod. They're not overly expensive, but still, I could think of a rod I would want to do more for the bait. The one thing is they say it's indestructible. Now, I haven't tested it yet, but I mean, I put it through pretty good paces yesterday, but
indestructible.
Almost. They say that solid carbon is one of the most durable. It's not indestructible, but they say it's as close as you can get.
I gotcha. Well, indestructible in normal use then. But I would definitely take that as a challenge.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it if you didn't. They're hard to get.
The indestructible in normal use challenge. I mean, not abuse, not, you know, trying to crush it under a rolling pin or something. But just, yeah, I could do that.
I didn't. I was just, you know, lifting fish up with it, not high-sticking. The rod was out a bit, but I had no problem picking up whatever fish I had on and all that kind of stuff. But I can honestly tell you, I don't believe somebody when they say it's in. I was just saying they say it's very tough, but I was going to go on to say, well, I haven't fished in enough yet to know that to be a fact. So we'll see.
I was less interested before. I'm very interested now.
Yeah, I'll let you use my setup if you go out and you borrow the one at the house. I got that 15-pound Suffix 832, that blue-white stuff. That stuff casts really good.
Mm-hmm.
It really throws nice. So, anyway, we're here, Shield. Redfish, Captiva, Boca. Anybody got anything on any of these passes?
Captiva and Boca are the only two I've gotten any remote reports on. A lot of baby gag grouper in both of them. I heard of a couple legal size ones, but they were just barely legal. The Spanish mackerel have been moving out of both of those every now and then, following that incoming tide, it seems like. The snook and redfish at night have been pretty darn good for a lot of those guys, both beach fishing and going out in a boat fishing along the edges of the shoreline. And then Boca, as you go out of the channel on the north side, guys are starting to pick up an occasional pompano and an occasional flounder. Yeah, so there's a little bit of mixed activity going on out there, but those are really the only two passes I've heard any reports on. How about you, Josh?
Had some decent snook reports out of redfish.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mostly on the north side.
Big fish, or?
Yes. Big fish. Like, they were trying to find slot fish, and they weren't catching slot fish because they were too big.
What were they catching them on?
Live ladyfish.
Live ladyfish.
Which could have part of the thing to do with why they kept catching big ones.
Right.
But they caught probably 6 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
Which is a good number of fish when you're catching big overslot snook to catch in a day of fishing.
And I've heard a couple reports of monster redfish, actually more big redfish in Redfish Pass than big snook, which is unusual because even though it's called Redfish Pass, I usually think of it as snook fishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
What I've always, you know, but this year they've had a lot of redfish coming in Redfish Pass, a lot of big oversized fish.
That's pretty good.
All right. And getting down, we're trying to do one here straight. And if Josh wasn't drunk, even though it's hard because he's never been drunk in his life, but he's still, maybe it's just that he talks like it. Okay. Anyway, walking the beaches. All right, now he's mad. He's going to pout.
No, I was wondering what I would be like doing this drunk. I was just trying to imagine it, and I have no way. I have no reference point.
Well, you've never been drunk. How would you know?
I don't know. I don't. That's what I'm saying. I have no reference point.
You drink, though, right?
Yeah, a little bit, occasionally.
Okay, because I was going to say, I thought we had drinks at a couple hotels at some of the tackle shows.
We have.
Stuff. Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I've never had more than 3 in a row, so.
That was way too many for me.
Pretty big guy. Probably take a lot.
Yeah. All right. Walking the beaches. What's going on?
There's been a kind of variety of stuff. We were actually talking about that earlier, too. There's been a lot of snook moving along the beaches. There are quite a few fish moving from the nearshore reefs and hitting the beaches. The occasional Spanish mackerel as they're pushing bait in towards the shoreline. A few pompano, occasional flounder. Heard of a few whiting. I haven't heard of any numbers, but they've been a little bit better quality fish. You know, it's been not too bad. You know, it's especially with this wind lately, working those beaches has been a little bit more promising than some of the other places.
Talked to a guy who said that he's been doing real well up in the Venice area fishing underneath the pier from the beach as the pier was closed. I don't know if the pier is still closed, but while it was closed, it may still be closed now, I don't know. But he said without having the fishermen up top, it was really helpful to him because the fish were actually congregating underneath the pier like he would expect them to, without anybody dropping anything down on their heads.
Yeah, look, he's catching a snook. Good mix. 8 ounces of lead.
Are these fish in the witness protection program, or do they have names? Can you name names? Are these named sources or unnamed sources that we're using?
His target was whiting and pompano. He was using small nylon jigs. So he said that he saw a few snook, but they weren't interested in the nylon jigs. What he was catching was mostly small pompano, some decent whiting, a couple of black drum. They said there were good numbers of fish underneath there.
Okay. It was hard to get out of them, Robert. I'm not sure if it was all true or not.
Yeah, it almost seemed forced.
Sure. I'm not sure. You know, when you're dealing with these unnamed sources, you know.
I will walk out of here.
I'll bet you $10 you won't run.
Wow.
Wow. I'm sorry. Come on, that one was actually pretty good.
Spot on.
That was pretty good.
That's awesome.
You know,
what stuff
I've probably crawled out of this office. I can remember. I think I've crawled out once back when I was having the episode. So, walked, crawled, ran, fallen. I know. Pretty much, I don't think there's anything you can do to go through that doorway I haven't experienced at one point or another over the last few decades. All right, Ponderosa Sanibel. What's going on?
I have heard zero from down that way. They've been complaining about the dark water coming out the Caloosahatchee still. It's been heavy flow, and it's been pretty ugly coming out through the river, and it seems to have pushed a lot of fish away.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. They've been picking up a couple of redfish right there around St. James City, but the guys are really working hard at just finding a couple. So been.
Now, what I've heard is there's a lot of red tide down there. Now, I read the red tide reports. They said from one sample in Lee County, it was background concentrations. But I don't know if they've been down right where the Calusi Ponderosa, from there down towards Estero, we're going towards Marco. Florida juts out, their land comes out and creates an eddy, a swirl right there at the bottom of Sanibel, right in that corner. And that's historically a horrible place for red tides, because all those nutrients come out of the Caloosahatchee and that water comes down and it concentrates that water right there, because the water on our Gulf Coast of Florida comes from north to south. If you go swimming and you're on Englewood Beach, you walk in the water, you're going to end up way to the left. You're not going to go to the right, you're going to go to the left, and you're going to go down the beach, you know, south. And so all that stuff coming down and red tide gets concentrated, even if it's in low concentrations, other like in the harbor or out in the Gulf, the concentration there will get much higher. And then we've heard of some fish kills and some really bad stuff right there at that eddying point.
And that eddy is always stronger when the Caloosahatchee is flowing better, because the Caloosahatchee is basically flowing east to west and then pushes out from the north because of the way of the shape of its mouth. So you get that, and you really get a swirl going much stronger than it normally is. It's always there, but the stronger the river flows, the more pronounced that eddy gets. And when you're funneling a bunch of junk down the river, a bunch of high nutrient, high pollutant water, then you end up with that caught there.
Okay. How about the Caloosahatchee River?
Nothing.
Okay. And Matt Lachey.
Actually, the shrimper was telling me the other day she fished down there, and her and a couple of the other guys have been getting some redfish right there just to the south of Matt Lachey, along the couple oyster beds there, and she named some little key down there, and I can't remember. It was like something or other. I can't remember. But they've been getting some redfish. She said they caught a couple of peanut snook, and then she's also heard of a few trout, but they didn't get any. So, how about you, Josh?
Went down there and picked up some smoked mullet from Island Seafood and was talking to those guys. They said that the bridge fishing has been pretty good. They've been going down there at night, and they've been catching mangrove snapper and the occasional snook, although not the slots that they were hoping to get. Said that they've seen some people down there catching redfish also at night, and most of those have been over the slot, but it's not big numbers. It's just one here, one there.
It's not too bad. Catching them on?
Don't know.
Okay.
Bait.
Nice.
Okay, Pine Island Sound, and this is sponsored by Reaper Rods. Robert, what do you got to say about Reaper Rods?
They're made unbelievably well. I mean, unbelievably well.
Josh, your first thought?
On Reapers?
Yes.
Well, I got a lot, but my very first one is when you have a rod that's made locally in the area by a guy that you can actually talk to and he's where the buck stops, then that says something.
So, we're all agree, quality, interaction with the company, Reaper's a good rod, and they cast well. They outcast normal rods.
Yes.
And that's a very, very good thing.
As long as you're willing to either throw a little bit shorter leader so that it's not going into the guides, or tie a little bit different knot so that it will spit through those guides. Life is a compromise.
Yes, but if you're throwing lures all day and you want a rod that will help you catch fish, be better in your hand, all that, buy a Reaper. It's as simple as that. The number one and only complaint I get about Reaper, and I get this complaint all the time, is when you buy one, you almost always get another one.
Yep.
That's the one major complaint, and I get that complaint all the time. It's like, what you looking for? Oh, I'm going to get another Reaper. Oh, it's a, oh yeah, no, I got one. I just, you know, I got to get another one. And I'm like, oh man, that's the worst thing about buying a Reaper rod. You probably will buy another one.
Yeah, right. You'll be less happy with what you were throwing.
All right, Pine Island Sound.
Mostly what I'm hearing is right there around the Captiva Rocks and around those fish shacks right there. There's been some redfish. Not very many trout, but a little bit better quality trout if you're drifting along with either a big white bait or a big pinfish. And then there's been some redfish and snook up around Patricio, both on the inside and on the outside edge of it. And those are all being caught on pinfish and cut ladyfish. And one guy did real well with frozen sardines, cutting those up, chunking them out. So there's some fish activity down there, but you have to work for them and find them. Just don't spend a lot of time in each spot. 20 minutes to 30 minutes at each spot. Move around, check things out, move again.
Yeah, the oyster bars that are north of St. James City, about a third of the way up the island, I've been hearing real good redfish reports out of there. And they were turning around and fishing the same lures. They're fishing diesel minnow, Z-Man diesel minnow. They're fishing those around the oyster bars for the redfish, and then turning around once they get into more open grass and fishing potholes for trout with the same lures and doing pretty well with those too. And that's where I've been hearing some of the bigger trout, some of those 18 to 22 inch fish. Again, it's not huge numbers, but it's quality fish. A lot fewer shorts down that way.
Yeah, Austin caught one down there last week that was 26 inches.
Good fish.
It was a real good fish. He had some pretty good, he had a big picture of it, and then it didn't make it, so he took it home for dinner.
Wow.
And he tried to resuscitate in his live well for a little bit, and it just kept rolling over, so it became dinner.
And a couple of sharks taking the back ends off some of those trout as they're coming in. Which, if they're better sharks down there in those flats areas, I'm assuming they're probably lemons.
I would say it's probably true. Okay, Jug Creek Shoal, sponsored by our buddy Jason Tari over at Custom Pools. If you need a pool or you need pool fixing or your pump worked on or anything else, give them a call. JT's Custom Pools. Nice, nice folks to deal with. Been dealing with Jason for years. And I keep saying, if I ever have another good year, like... I'm going to say it for the very first time. I haven't talked about it, I haven't advertised it, but it's our show. I can even say whatever I want. Will Amazon price match pen reels? We will do that. If you come in, you want to buy a pen reel, you get all our warranties, all our support, all our backup, all the guarantees that we would do and anything else, and we will match Amazon on any price on any pen reel. But not the price you bring in. When you come in, we're going to look it up. We have a tablet here. We're going to look it up on the tablet or on our computer, and we will price match Amazon on these pen reels. So, anyway, at Jug Creek Shoals, there's been some trout activity up there. And some Spanish mackerel. Any type of other fish up there at the north end of Pine Island?
I've been hearing about some redfish also. It doesn't seem like we're getting the numbers up there, but there are definitely some scattered around and mixed in with the trout and with everything else going on up there.
Okay. And out by the bar in front of the Spanish house, there's been some reds. In front. I'm trying to type and talk, and I can't even do one or the other. So,
so trying to do both at the same time? Forget
it. Yeah, and I do it every week. You'd think I'd be used to it by now. Okay, Burnt Store, Two Pines, and this is sponsored by Shimano, and the CI-4 is a good reel. It is worth buying. I get asked that question a lot lately because so many people had bad experiences, but it is back. The CI-4 is a good reel. It is back. It is solid. Okay, and Burnt Store Two Pines, which is sponsored by Shimano. What are they sponsoring now?
Well, they're sponsoring some redfish because that's been a great spot to catch those guys. They've been both in the open grass and occasionally up by the shore, but mostly in that area they've been more on the flat itself. Some have even been over on the edge of the bar, on the deep side, where they've been catching some of the better ones.
Okay.
We're also seeing some trout down there. Again, it's mostly back to the smaller ones, but they're a trout if you want to go catch them. And I heard a couple of cobia that were out there cruising the bar from guys who were actually red fishing the outside of the bar, and they said that they saw cobia and cast to them, and
no good.
But that doesn't mean that you can't try.
Hey. Give it a shot. You never, ever, ever know. Okay. And it takes us up to the east side. Comeran Key, the whole map of the east side, Back Bay Key, Sneaky Creek Skating Rink is now up there, Hobbs Point and Pirate Harbor. I've spent pretty much most of the day there yesterday. And up in Mangrove Point, we were there throwing shrimp, and we had caught snook, trout, and I forget something else we caught there. I forget what it was. And a school of whitebait came up and just started hanging around the boat. And we had a net in there, and we made sure just to throw on the edge of the school, kind of see what size they are, what they look like, and make sure they were actually whitebait. And they were a lot of smaller ones. Got a few, you know, gilled in the net, but we use those for dead bait. But the ones we had and the ones we had left, they lived from Mangrove Point right there by Ponte Gorda and all the way down to Pirate Harbor, and then I drove the boat up to my house up in on the Peace River, and when we got there drained the live well and threw them all live back into the canal. We had the shrimp and the whitebait lived all the way up to the house with no problem at all.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, it was just weird because, you know, I've been hearing about bait dying here and there in the next place, and I thought, yeah, I just wonder what happens. But I got splashed coming back up because it was windy yesterday, and I took a little bit of spray, and I licked my mustache, and, yep, there was salt in it. You could taste the salt in it, so that was weird.
I think that's a little part of it, but I also think your live well system that you set up on that boat is completely different than everybody else's. And your bait, though, is so much better no matter what you put in there than any other live well I have personally seen.
Took all the pressure off.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's just so different. That's what yours is.
High volume, low pressure.
Yeah.
And what I did was I took intakes. From normally you'd put on the back of the boat for use as intake. They make these plastic intakes. I cut holes in the bottom of my live well, ran the hoses up through the bottom, the through-hole fittings, and put one facing one way and the other, so the water pumps in and goes across the bottom and kind of swirls the bottom at a very low speed. And it takes everything from the bottom, brings it up through the drain, so the water in my live wells are always clear. And yeah, it really works good. It doesn't matter if it's thread fins or whatever. Everything lives. We had a trout in there. We kept a 16-inch trout I caught, and Blake wanted that for dinner. So that trout was in there from, I don't know, 10:30 in the morning until we got back about 5:30. He was fine. So, but, yeah, I set my live wells up completely different than anybody else, but I have two 750-gallon-per-hour pumps going into a 30-gallon live well with no flow restriction at all, straight through three-quarter-inch lines. So, and then I turn them so they don't bubble up. Everything goes across the bottom, and the water just rises towards the top. But keeps bait alive really good, and fish. I just wanted, when I was doing charters years ago, my live well had spray heads in it, and I was constantly turning them up to make it rain down on the thing. And the problem with that is you're putting water and air in at the top, and the drains from the live well are taking the water off the top.
Right.
So I wanted the new water coming in on the bottom and everything going up to the top and flowing out so that there was water was always being exchanged. That's how why I did it. And I didn't want the pressure, because pressure blows the scales off of the bait. So it does work.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, well, it was trial and error, but I got it down pat now. And like I say, it does work. So
you're
anyway.
Thinking about it more like an aquarium than you are like a live well.
Yeah, I wanted a lot of water, new oxygen, new water, and everything should be cleaner. And it worked exactly as I had hoped. I got it on the second try. So, first time, not so good. But the second time, really worked out good. Before I put those deflectors on there, it was like having two geysers in there. And the water, yeah, it wasn't good. Okay.
Nice.
On the east side, we caught redfish up by the mangroves, just off of the mangroves. But we only caught one all day. And we probably caught four or five smaller snook. One was close to legal limit on the small end, on the short end of the slot, but wasn't quite that big. And the rest of them were definitely very undersized. A couple of sharks there, bonnet sharks. And then there was a lot of needlefish. What's up with all the needlefish?
I have no idea. I mean, it's... They do vary in abundance. Maybe they like the nutrient levels in the harbor right now. You know, they're eating mostly pretty small prey. They're not eating, you know, 2-inch, 3-inch bait fish. They're usually eating something that's noticeably smaller than that. What you might think of as microfish, inch, maybe half-inch fish that live near the surface. They do eat grass shrimp, too.
They had no problem eating the shrimp or trying to eat the shrimp underneath the popping corks or the white bait underneath the popping cork. And I think we caught like four of them. The biggest one was probably over 18 inches. And nice size ones.
They can eat surprisingly large things, but most of what they naturally eat is a lot smaller.
They mouth on it. And so you can pop it away from them. All of a sudden, you'll see your bobber drop a little bit and come back up, drop a little bit and come back up. That's those needlefish pecking on it. And a lot of puffers over there, too.
Yeah, if you look in needlefish stomachs, what you'll find is mostly those little tiny baitfish. So maybe we have another crop of little baitfish coming on.
Oh, there's a lot of little bait over there. A lot. A lot of tiny bait. A lot of white bait. A lot of small minnows. There's a lot of small fish there on that east side.
So that's probably what it is. They're there for their prey. Okay. And if you had gone back into the islands, back into the Keys there, and beat the bushes a little bit harder, I think you probably would have caught a lot more redfish. Real good reports of redfish scattered all through that area.
Yeah, we couldn't find any, but the water was way down. It was very, very
super low tide yesterday.
Super low tide. So, I mean, we caught a fish every 15 minutes, whether it was a trout or a shark or, you know, needlefish or snook or we caught two catfish. So, you know, but it was a good day, and it wasn't like it was you know, we weren't fishing hard, kind of anchoring up, throwing some baits out, free lining and popping corks were the way we fished, and threw a lot of paddle-tail jigs. But, all right, anyway, that's going to take us up to Alligator Creek, and at Alligator Creek, we got Ackline HR. They are the sponsor, and they're just, if you have employees, and you know what it's like for the taxes and the payroll stuff and the workman's comp and all this other kind of stuff, get somebody who takes responsibility for all of it and actually does it and takes the responsibility for it. That's Ackline. They do a great job. Super happy with them. They've been doing it for about a year now. And the best thing is, had a couple little issues and problems. They fixed them immediately. It was one phone call, fixed. That's what you want. If you don't have problems with somebody or you don't see that there's a problem, how do you know if they're good or bad? They're just, you know, it's running there in the background. But when everything's going good, and then one day you have that little hiccup, and you can just call, and it's fixed, that's wonderful. That, because no matter what you say, one day you will have a problem. And that's when you find out if somebody's good to deal with or not, when you have that problem. Okay, Alligator Creek. Anything going on there? I didn't fish it. I mean, we fished to the north and to the south of it. But I didn't fish, actually, in the creek.
It's been pretty slow in there, except for a couple of guys have been picking up a few snook while idling out of there, so they're trolling along, coming out of Burnt Store Isles there, and then a couple of guys coming out of Poacher's Cut, just slow trolling on their way out, messing around. A couple of jacks they've been seeing busting in little schools in there, but not really catching them. Just a little on the quiet side in there. You got anything?
Mullet.
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 Okay.
That's all I heard. It was lots of mullet. They were looking to bowfish, and they went in there thinking that they'd be able to bowfish mullet, and you can't really. It's too deep. It's too dark. You got to get back out there onto the flats. But they said there were lots of fish in there.
Right.
Okay. Pond Stallion Park, sponsored by Shenango Supply. Hi-oh, Shenango. If you need power tools, power equipment, nuts, bolts, stuff that's hard to find, Shenango actually has real construction equipment. And I go there as a homeowner. I went there when I was a contractor, and as a contractor they were unbelievably helpful. They had the stuff I need. They got it quick. I got my lawnmower from there, my pressure cleaners from there. I got all my stuff from there. And friends who bought stuff from at the same time I bought my stuff from Shenango, from some of the big chain stores, their stuff is long history. They've had to replace it. Mine all still works, and it works really well. And it was the same price as what I paid at the big stores. So rock on, Shenango. Do great there. Just go out there. You take 17 out of Punta Gorda, and they're in a little town out there called Cleveland. Give them a call. They'll tell you where they're at.
Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, Cleveland rocks. Okay. All right. Pond Stallion Park is what they sponsor. What are they sponsoring?
Some Black Drum. Some tasty eating size Black Drum. Not those big, giant, enormous ones, but some of those more like in the 17 to, let's say, 26, 27 inch region. And those have been right there in the boat channel. They're catching them both wade fishing and from the pier.
Heard of a couple incidental redfish mixed in with them and a couple of snook, but the snook have been on the small side.
Yeah, they were targeting the redfish and catching the Black Drum.
Oh, there you go. It's not too bad. There was a few trout right out there on the couple wade fishermen going off the beach right there on the harbor part of it and catching a couple small trout. They didn't catch any size to them, but they had fun.
That's what matters.
That was kind of their only goal.
All that matters.
All right, and that's going to take us to the PGI canals. What's going on there?
More Black Drum. Some of them a lot bigger. Some of them a whole lot bigger.
Yeah, a whole lot bigger.
Yeah. You guys thinking they hooked Shamu underneath their concrete dock, but it's just a big old Black Drum. And they're easy. I mean, just a dead shrimp on the bottom or a half a blue crab, but the shrimp is cheaper, and it'll work just as well. The only thing is that you're going to get some catfish, so just be ready to shake catfish off your hook and keep fishing.
There's also been some pretty good-sized snook along the Rim Canal. Guys have been going along there and slow trolling the 16 series bomber. And then a couple other guys have been going in there and actually just dead-sticking the dead mullet or dead ladyfish right on the bottom and waiting for some of those oversized snook to come along.
Alrighty then.
And of course, baby tarpon.
Yeah.
Gilcrest Pier.
Crickets.
I was trying to determine if I could make a cricket noise. I don't think I can.
Okay. You can give it a shot.
I don't think I can.
Out of all the sound effects, really? Seriously?
I don't think I can do that one.
Really?
I don't think I can.
How about it? That was pretty good.
We'll settle for an owl.
Okay.
Was that what you're looking for?
That's what I needed right there.
Ah, okay. Just double checking. Okay, Alligator Creek Reef, sponsored by my buddy Grady down at Allstate Insurance. And Grady is sponsoring the Alligator Creek Reef. They do all kinds of different insurance down there. If you need your boat insured, they got boat insurance and car insurance and homeowners and all that kind of stuff. I say you got to go down and talk to them about a homeowner's policy.
But you have a homeowner's policy.
But I'm less than thrilled after the damage on the hurricane to the house.
I see.
And I can honestly tell you, boys and girls, find somebody Grady or even somebody like Grady who you can talk to, who's in his office, because emailing some cupcake in California. Oh, it's, you know, I mean, you can go up my house, you go on the porch, you go up the spiral staircase, and you're on the widow's walk. You step over the railing, and you're on the porch. The wind was blowing 10 miles an hour. He says, you can't go out there, you're going to blow off. Okay, California cupcake. And the guy was from California, and cupcake rhymes with California, so.
It doesn't, though. It really doesn't. It alliterates, but it doesn't rhyme.
It does. Redneck rhymes. All right. Okay, some wuss from California. Let's put it that way.
I liked cupcake. It was fine. It was great alliteration.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you get so frustrated when you can't call anybody. You've got to email these millennial, this 20-some-year-old idiot who wouldn't know a roof from your basement, and he's trying to tell you what. That's why I'm going down to Mac to see if I can get a real person to handle my insurance. I'm a little frustrated.
I'm sure you can.
So, okay, Alligator Creek Reef, what is Mick sponsoring?
There's actually been a couple more mangrove snapper being caught off there. Other than that, I really haven't heard anything else.
I was a little surprised.
That was neat.
To hear about really some Spanish mackerel that's showing up there. Was that?
I'm not sure, but I was typing, and all of a sudden, fishing came out, F9FI, F9SIH. I'm like, and I have no idea why, because I wasn't even close to the top of the keyboard.
All right. Anyway, yeah, hearing some Spanish mackerel there, on an incoming tide, with as much fresh water as there's been. And I guess that's not really a huge shock if you're seeing a bunch of bait fish over there on the east side, and that being in that general vicinity, if they're following those bait fish in, sure, I could see it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a far reach at all.
I wouldn't have expected it, but I could see it.
Yeah, well, we weren't. The net was on the boat by accident. I had said there's probably not going to be any bait around or anything else, and we did see people anchored out on the bar holding cast nets on the east side, so that was something different. Cito sponsoring the holes in the harbor, the deep holes.
They're catching some really, really good quality catfish off of there.
And I'll say it one more time. If you like to eat catfish up north, you will like eating sail cats down here.
They're very tasty.
They're wonderful fish. They're predators. They're not nearly as scavengy as the hardhead catfish are. Hardhead catfish are muddy. Sail cats are good eating fish 90% of the time.
I would say way more than that for the sail cats. Hardheads, I would say, is at 70-80% good, and 10-20% not so good, because they tend to go like a largemouth bass, where you get one that has that funky kind of moldy, musty.
That's what I found with the sail cats too, though. You occasionally hit one that's just, well, this isn't right. This one tastes muddy.
Funky, yeah, muddy.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I stopped eating bass, but the other reason was that I discovered that you could eat all the cichlids instead. So,
yeah. But
there has been a couple of tarpon through there. Some of the guys have been slow trolling bigger ladyfish, have been hooking into the occasional tarpon. They're not showing themselves at all, but they are hooking them.
All right. As far as the bait reports, east side.
Hey, I heard there's some bait on the east side.
Tiny white bait. And Jug Creek Shoal has had a little better size bait. Any other bait places?
Beaches.
Yeah, it's hit or miss on the beaches, but there's been a lot of hit.
And it's been a little bit better quality. You know, the stuff inside seems to be much smaller. The pinfish are still doing really good over at Devilfish.
Sabiki or cast net?
Both. A couple guys don't like throwing a cast net. They just don't like it. So they're sitting there sabikiing them. And the one guy, he actually puts just two hooks on.
Where was the pinfish?
Devilfish. He comes and buys the little tiny brim hooks and goes over there, and he says, I have a fun time doing that. He says, it's just as much fun as catching the fish with that fish.
Any other places for pinfish?
It's the only place I've heard of.
Okay. Ladyfish.
I have not heard of a single spot except for right inside Bull Bay.
Gallagher, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did mention Gallagher's earlier.
Okay. What else do we usually do? Oh, thread fins, anything?
No.
Anything for thread fins. Okay. All right, freshwater fishing. This is sponsored by certain water services, and they do our shiner tanks here at the store. That's how I got to know them, and our shiners are living very well. The water's good. City water kills all our fish, killed all our bait. We could not figure out how to do anything. And he's got us all in reverse osmosis. It's terrific. I have a whole house water filter and a reverse osmosis system on my refrigerator, and it's the bomb. My coffee's wonderful, and I've noticed no chemical or moldy smells or anything in the shower since this happened, and I have not had to clean the shower head.
Nice.
My water pick, the shower head, the faucet stuff, you know, they get that gunk built up on them. Has not happened since Bill did my house.
I would expect that to be the case, yeah.
I wasn't sure. You know, no. I mean, I know him. I like him. He's a heck of a good guy. We learned a lot about water and systems and everything else, and he's just really smart, great person. But still, I never had one of these things. I didn't know if it was worth the money, and, you know, it was expensive, but I feel really good about it. I like it. And I'm telling you what, the flavor of the coffee is astronomically good.
Well, it tastes like coffee now.
Yeah, because there's no flavor from the water. It's just water.
Yeah.
And it is the best tasting water. I go up to the refrigerator, just get a glass of water and drink it. Don't bother with bottles. We did bottled water in her teapot. You know, you just add water to it. You know, it's a teapot. You know, and when we were using bottled water, we started noticing a film on it and stuff building up on the sides of it, and cleaned it out. And when we got back on our household water filter system, never happened before. Only happened when we used the bottled water, and that was bottled water, not even tap water. Tap water is way worse.
Yeah. Well, it depends which bottles you're using, whether it's spring water or a lot of bottled water really is just tap water anyway.
My tap water, very good. Okay, freshwater canals.
You should bottle it.
No. Freshwater.
The bass fishing has picked up actually a lot this week. Guys are buying an assortment from literally shiners to the frogs to, plastic worms. I mean, kind of a variety this week. They haven't stuck with one particular artificial over another. The 9 Mile Canal. A couple guys said the water's receded enough where you can kind of get to fishing a little bit over there at the web and getting some bass in there. And then, of course, the bluegill have really kind of turned on quite a bit, too, since the water temperatures come down just a little bit because of these overcast and breezy days.
And those cooler nights. And it only takes a couple degrees to make all that difference.
Yeah.
Mayan cichlids are still strong, though. They prefer more tropical water conditions, and it's still warm enough for their liking, so we're still doing really well with Mayans. Tilapia are good, both in straight fresh and in brackish water.
Where are they catching the tilapia at?
Up the Myakka.
Up, yeah, okay. So basically the Northport Canal is up around the 41 where it meets the Myakka.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be some in there. I mean, there's always some in there.
Yeah.
But you've got to go in there and you've got to target them.
Well, not only that, but it seems to be like certain times the tilapia get very active where you can actually catch them. The rest of the time, you just kind of stare at them.
Well, you can catch them. It's just a matter of using the baits that they want to eat. You know, if they're not in the mood to...
Well, that's with any fish. Come on.
Okay, but if they're not in the mood to eat beetle spins, then throw worms. If they're not going to eat the worms, then chum them up with bread and use bread balls or put corn out there. There's always a way to catch those tilapia if you keep trying different things. They're always going to eat something.
Yeah.
All right, what about tarpon, guys, on the tarpon report?
They are so scattered. There's quite a few fish out there, but, man, are they scattered everywhere. The juveniles kind of have played a disappearing act except for up in the canals like PGI and Spring Lake. Not hearing of as many out in the harbor, except for Eljo Bean in the mornings. But the adults, guys are mostly just blind fishing for them. They're drifting along through the 20-foot holes, Pirate Harbor hole, even down into the Boca Grande area. And one guy does really good. He'll catch, you know, he'll put three or four fish in the air and get one. Another guy says, "Meh, I got a couple drive-bys, but didn't even get to see the fish." So
yeah, we're getting to the point where it's going to be real frustrating to try to target those larger fish. Okay. You know, at least unless you see some rolling while you're out there doing something else, then that makes it worthwhile. And of course, remember, every time you're trout fishing, you're tarpon fishing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that about wraps it up. So, as they say, we have... put the final thought on today's show, finished another one. That means the job is done. So, anything we need to do before we wrap this one up? Anything we need to go over, guys?
No, not that I can think of.
Yeah, I think we pretty well covered it. And then some.
I hit the toilet. He's looking at me like, really?
Hey, man, it's your show. You do whatever sound effects you want. I like the crickets better, but...
I could... Of course, it's my show. And let's see. I can't really think of anything else we need to go over. And there's always danger in that. Because we're probably missing something.
Probably.
So, all I can tell you is...
Did you think of who your missing advertiser was?
No. But I will. I'm all up for next week.
Well, they're amazing anyway. Whoever they are.
And buy their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I guess...
I know one of them fixes broken boats.
Okay.
Lives out by you.
Oh, Jerry at SOS Marine. Oh, yeah. How did I forget Jerry? I've known this guy forever. SOS Marine.
That's the guy
Marine.
You forgot? That's I the can't guy you believe left that. Out? Jeez.
What a horrible human I am. I can't even believe that. SOS Marine. My boats that are being fixed right now. I got a boat there being fixed. I got a trailer there being fixed.
And you put him in after the flush.
And I can't even imagine I did that. I'm like, God, Jerry, I'm sorry. 69,3600. Great folks. I build the SOS boat, Marine. I thank you for remembering. If you own a boat, especially an older boat, you know, if you still have your warranty, go to your regular dealer. But when they're out of warranty, and or if you're just moving the area and you've got a boat, you need somebody to work on it, you can trust Jerry, SOS. It's Jerry.
The song's over and everything.
Okay, yeah, everything's all over, and I'm just like still feeling talking. So bad. I can't even. Oh my God, Radio Fish, and we're gone. Bye, embarrassed Frank. Sorry, Jerry. Bye.